Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today will be David Hulley and Mike Gregg. In this episode, we'll be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Preston North End. We'll also have the latest in Fulham news and another edition of the Cottage Talk Roundtable to start the show. But before we do anything, because we do have plenty to get through, I want to bring on my co-host back to the show. First, Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Yeah, really good. Looking forward to the show, and jam-packed show, I reckon.
We have plenty to get through. David, how are you doing?
Hi again. Actually, I'm glad that Mike has gatecrashed the show at last minute because, you know, it is a bit jam-packed and there's going to be a lot of very difficult questions to answer. So I'm glad that Mike's here to share these as well. And hopefully, Mike, you can go first so I can just copy your answers afterwards.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, David, because right before we went live, I was speaking to Mike, and Mike was talking about news that just broke. So, again, we're recording this Friday night in England. It's still the afternoon here. So, again, just keep that in mind when you do listen to the show. So, Mike, tell me what breaking news you just saw on Twitter from Lyle Thomas.
Yeah, well, within the last 45 minutes and last 10 minutes, Lyle was posted online that Rowett is to remain as Birmingham City manager despite interest from Championship rivals Fulham. So that looks like another one bites the dust, and we move on to whoever is now 47th in the list of targets.
That is just crazy. And then again, before we go in any further, we're going to talk about this whole situation a little bit. But David, I want to get your thoughts about that news from Lyle Thomas.
Well, I think I intimated the other day when I chatted to you that I have a bit of reservations about pursuing managers who are employed at other clubs, especially in the same league.
And although we're going to talk about that in a little bit, David.
Yeah, you know, although Rowett, he seems to have a great pedigree, I would be more comfortable if we were going for someone who wasn't in a job. And, you know, look what's happened with Steve Clarke and all that shenanigans there and backrooms and forwards. You wouldn't have that maybe with perhaps someone who's out of a job. So whilst I'm disappointed if Rowett isn't going to come to anything because I thought he was one of the better names mentioned, in a way I'm a bit relieved that we don't have the issues with sort of falling out with other clubs in our league because, you know, even if we've done it properly, there's still going to be a sour taste for some, I think, when you do that. I just hope it doesn't mean that Billy Davis is now in the frame.
Very interesting situation here, guys. And, Mike, I'm going to go right back to you because I was talking to you a little bit about this, and this is something that Amelia brought up to me about a week ago, and so I want to just pose this to you guys so we could talk about it a little bit. When Fulham sacked Kit, you know, again, my thought was that they must have names all lined up. They must have someone that they're really interested in and that they were probably prepared for this. So I'm going to ask you, Mike, do you think Fulham were prepared for finding a new head coach after they sacked Kit Simons? Because I'm starting to doubt that they were.
Well, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, isn't it, really? The answer is no, because no one can understand it. I really am lost for words. I mean, today I tweeted quite a few sort of Mickey takes and sort of jokes about, you know, what's going on. But, you know, we're almost 3 weeks in, and it's not as if it was a sudden shock kick going. I mean, he must have been in the back of the club's mind and Mike Rigg's mind that he was going to go sooner or later because, you know, the rumours were that if he hadn't won at the Reading game, he would have been gone. So while you want your club to be above board and not do anything underhand while a person is in place, you would have thought that the week leading up, or certainly the weeks leading up, there would have been conversations with agents or representatives saying, you know, if a position becomes available, would you be interested? You know, those types of things.
Right.
So you sack him on the Sunday, and I would expect us to, you know, be on the phone that day, arranging interviews or chats, certainly by Tuesday or Wednesday. And, you know, and really, to go 3 weeks in now, it's ludicrous. And to be, you know, we've got to wait for Rowett, but we've been publicly turned down by Clarke, You know, Pearson apparently has turned his down as well. But there's, you know, there's other factors there with the two staff that he wants. And now it looks like Rowett has turned his down. And, you know, you've got to start wondering, you know, was there any planning? Or was this a sort of, you know, right, we're sacking him. Oh, we better find someone else. And, you know, everyone and his dog knew that we were going to get rid of him and we should have had people lined up. And it is beginning to look a bit of a farce now. And I like Mike Rigg, met him a number of times, but he's not handled this well at all.
I agree. You know, again, listen, I think he's done a good job building up the team. I'm talking about the recruitment of the players. But I don't think he's handled this well at all. And I go back to, again, I know it's not a perfect comparison, but I look at how Liverpool handled the situation with Zach and Rodgers. And yes, I know that Jurgen Klopp was out there and they probably, you know, had all their ducks in a row, but still they were prepared. They moved quickly and they got it done. And it just doesn't seem like they had all their ducks in a row. I'm talking about Fulham in this situation. David, what are your thoughts on all of this?
Well, I think Mike said, I mean, it was clear that Kit was going to go sooner or later. There was obviously a threshold had been passed, and you know, I agree that had we not beat Reading or even maybe something sooner, he would have gone. So you've got to have both parts of you know, the puzzle there, really. You know, you know you're getting rid of someone, and so you've got to bring someone in, and it really doesn't look good for, you know, Mike Rigg. I just had a quick flip through Twitter there, and Mike Rigg is definitely getting a lot of stick at the moment from people, and I suppose rightly so, because, you know, it seems that Fulham, you know, not a proper place to come. You'd think there'd be a lot of people who want to come to Fulham. You know, we've got a
That's
rich
right.
owner. You know, we're in London, which is a desirable place to be for many people. Normally that, you know, has an attraction over and above other clubs. I mean, no disrespect to other parts of the countries, but I'm sure there's loads of parts of the country that you wouldn't want to be in compared to London. And yet, no one wants to come to us. And, you know, I just read someone tweeted, why don't we just get rid of Mike Rigg and hire a manager instead, and that kind of sums up the sort of the mood out there. Not necessarily everybody, but you know, it definitely you know, from the board down, really, or from the top down to Mike Rigg, it just doesn't look good for the club at all. Whether or not, you know, we're misreading it, but it seems hard that we are, because you know it just smacks of poor planning. It really does. You've got to have ideas of what you're going to be doing when you sack your manager. Did Mike Rigg just believe that someone would fall into his lap, or, you know, so easily? They must have had some idea, because if they really had no idea when they sacked Kit, then I'm not saying they should have kept Kit, but really they should have been planning for that point, because they knew Kit was going to go.
Yeah. You know, again, this whole situation I don't think was handled right here. And it's funny, because like I said, when Emilio talked to me a little while ago, I'm thinking, we haven't discussed this. You know, very good point by him. Why weren't Fulham more prepared for this situation? You know, you can sack your manager, but you have to have a plan ready to go. While, you know, again, all these potential candidates ready to go. And it just doesn't seem like they had all their ducks in a row. Again, I could be completely wrong, and we could all be wrong, but it just—that's the way it looks to me. And guys, just to go off on that story by Lyle. Now we have a story by Wayne Vesey again on Football Insider. So I'm just going to read that to you. Get your thoughts on it. Again, here is the headline. This is from Wayne. He says, "Fulham manager latest: Rowett deal hit snag over legal issue as talks close to collapse." So he's not saying it's dead. He says it's close to collapse. So, again, we have a little conflicting stories here, but I'm just going to read a little bit to you guys and get your thoughts on this. Again, this is from Wayne Vesey. We've had both Lyle and Wayne on the show, so it's very interesting that we can talk about both of these stories. His story starts this way. Fulham's pursuit of Gary Rowett has hit a snag over a legal issue with talks on the verge of breaking down. Football Insider source understands. Rowett emerged as London's number one choice to replace Kit Simons after their failed pursuit of Reading Steve Clark and former Leicester boss Nigel Pearson. But a Fulham source has told Football Insider that discussions with the Birmingham manager have not progressed as smoothly as hoped due to a legal issue surrounding his release from the Midlands club. in the latest twist in what has been a fraught pursuit of replacement for Simons, who was sacked at the start of the month. Okay. So that basically gives you another story about this. Mike, what are your thoughts about this story from Wayne?
Well, it's interesting that you've got two different sources now saying that it's not happening at the moment, and whether he's turned it down, whether there's a legal issue. But what it is it's the stumbling block of going to a manager in your own division, which is partly one of the problems. And you're going to have that if you go to League One, League Two, but on a lesser extent. I think if we had a manager someone wanted and they were in the same division as us, we would fight tooth and nail to keep that person probably and have things blocking the way. If you are going to go and try and get managers from teams above you in the championship, then you're going to run into these stumbling blocks and delays, and every day that it takes is another day wasted where somebody could be working with the team to improve them in the in all the positions we know that they need to work on. So it goes back to what we've just been saying. What was the plan on the Sunday when they sacked him?
Who, exactly.
First choice, was it Lambert? Then why, the bloke was unemployed, why didn't they speak to him or find out that he wasn't going to move unless they got the two guys from Leicester who are top of the Premier League, for God's sake? It's just bumbling along. I'm not saying that the unemployed managers out there are any better, a lot of them, but, really needed some better planning and better research, instead of, let's go and find out if these guys definitely can come to us, and if not, then you move on to your next person and not do it so publicly. But, that's what I think. I mean, I think we were going to discuss about managers from your own division. Well,
yeah,
we're going to
talk about that.
That doesn't work. Yeah, well, we're seeing that doesn't work, Russ.
Yeah. Mike, it's funny because I've gone back and forth on this. Again, David feels this way, I feel this way, and it sounds like you feel the same way. I want them to find the best man, but I've always felt uncomfortable about them going after someone in their own division. And now we're finding the other side of it, that it's not so easy because, again, one, this person's employed. Two, that team's probably not going to want to let this man go. So they're going to fight to keep him. And again, we're seeing all these different stories. Another thing that bothers me, again, just by the way my media is here, it's a little bit different, is that I just wish that a lot of this wasn't so public. I shouldn't say that, but it's public wherever you go. But I'm just saying, I just wish all of the dirty laundry didn't get out there. I got to give Wayne credit. I have to give Lyle credit because they're doing their job. I just wish that a good amount of this just, again, did not make light of day, because it makes Fulham look really bad right now. I mean, really bad. And again, it makes you think, who wants to come now after all of these stories are broken? That's why it's so important, I feel, to keep your business as quiet as possible. And now we're seeing the issues that go along with a situation like this. It's become very public and I think a little bit embarrassing. David, what are your thoughts about the story I just shared?
Well, I'd have my doubts that anything concrete has really happened with Rower anyway. It's all just been, speculation. I'm not really sure, what's gone on there. Have we actually physically gone after him? Because there has been conflicting reports that, I know Mike was making fun of it earlier, that we're about to make a thought of approaching something, wasn't it, Mike? You were saying about, why don't we just get on and do it? Why are we always about to make an approach? I don't know how much has gone on there with Rowett or why he's suddenly in the frame. Is this one of these sort of, I'm not sure if I can say this word anymore, the Chinese whispers. Are you allowed to say that? It's not very politically correct. I do apologise if anyone's offended by that. But Chinese whispers is the term that, where someone obviously starts a bit of a rumour and it escalates. How much truth is there in this? I really don't know. And I'm very, very sceptical about everything I read, because we hear so many different things and so many managers are apparently in the shortlist. You can go to your local bookmakers and put £5 on on anyone, probably on me even, and I could become favourite to become the Fulham manager next week or the Fulham head coach. Seriously, you don't need to necessarily put a lot of money on to influence the betting. So at the moment, you know, I very much enjoyed having Wayne on last week on the show. I thought it was it made for excellent listening and debate. But whether how much, you know, weight I put to it all, I tend to take it a bit with a pinch of salt, really, until you start to really see concrete things. And I think, obviously, Steve Clark, there were concrete things going on there. We know about that. It got too big for it not to be, for it to be just a rumour. But otherwise, we've not really seen very much, you know. You might as well try and have a look at the stand tomorrow, the Riverside stand, and see if you can spot anyone in there and start your own rumour, really, because there could be any one of many people there who are connected with football who may or may not be looking for a job. So take it with a big pinch of salt.
Yeah. Again, all this talk, you know, I just want action. I know you guys agree with that. We want to see a new head coach. I want it to be the right guy. But, again, this has gone on so long, and it just continues to go on. This can't be part of their plan. You know, again, I remember watching that Mike Rigg video, Mike, and, you know, he said that we had this time over the international break, but they were prepared to go ahead if they didn't find a man by then. Mike, I don't think that they plan to be two matches into this and not have a head coach.
No, I don't think they did, but, you know, in retrospect, you look back at what he said and you worry that the plans weren't in place as we were discussing earlier. I am sitting in the Riverside tomorrow, but I can confirm that I'm not looking for the job.
I'll put a fiver on you.
But I will watch out for any faces. I think they wanted, you know, somebody in. No club wants to be without a head coach or manager longer than a game or two. But it's just dragging on now. You know, once you lose one target, two, three, four, and then you start going down to the people where we all start putting our heads in our hands and, you know, cringing at the thought that person's going to be in charge. I've seen people even talking themselves into saying, well, you know, Billy Davis, he wouldn't be so bad, you know. And it's just like, it's just desperation, because I have quite a bit of sympathy for the players in this. What are they thinking at the moment? You know,
I totally agree with you.
Day to day, they're working with Grant. Okay, so they have a coach and they're professionals and they get on with it. But they just want to get on with it as well. They just want to know who's going to be the man, what system are they going to play, would they have to fight to win their place, you know, are they going to have to win him? You know, and so all this time is just putting doubt into players' minds when really they should be concentrating on the game, looking for 3 points to keep that slim chance of, you know, attacking the playoff positions. And, yeah, Mike has to sort it out, and he has to get someone in next week. But going back to what David was saying, and, you know, yes, earlier today I tweeted, you know, QPR had a headline, they're thinking of approaching Hasselbank next week. And
so
my sort of point was, why do you think about approaching? You know, I mean, two of you decide, yes, we want to approach Hasselbank. You get on the phone, you ring the club up, or their representatives, get permission first, and you take it from there. Why do you have to wait a week to, you know, make a phone call? Because that's what it seems to be at. We're a week after Clark, and we've been rejected again. So really, with Rowett, it should have been, you know, if he's a target, last Friday, Saturday, or after the games, speak to Birmingham, try and get permission. It should be done quickly, and you should be trying to meet him early in the week. And, you know, it just baffles me, you know, where we're going with this, because I'm worried we're going to end up with someone who's going to be just another caretaker for the rest of the season, and it's a half a season wasted when we could have a man in, getting the team trained, working to their style, ready for a push next season if we're not going to go up this year.
No, listen, it's a good point. You know, it's danger time, Mike, and I'm glad that you brought this up about the players. You know, what can be going through their minds? You know, again, they need leadership. They need someone that's in charge. Right now it's Peter Grant. I'm sure he's doing a decent job as caretaker head coach, I guess you want to call him. But there must be doubts in their mind. And again, going into this match, all this uncertainty could change how they're feeling going into this match. They should be confident going into this match. This is another winnable match. This is an opponent that, again, just a word to the wise, all of the research I've done on Preston North End lends me to believe that this is going to be a very dull match tomorrow. So just be wary of that. They don't give up many goals. They don't score many goals. So they're coming down to really just make it tight, and it's going to be difficult to break them down based on everything that I've read and I watched, and they are a disciplined side, so it's going to be difficult. So you don't want all this uncertainty that we have going into this match. They need the 3 points. This is a winnable match at home. They should be getting all 3 points, but now you throw all of this on top of it, and if I'm a player, I'd be thinking about what's going on here, and they need to clear this up now sooner than later. You know, again, I want them to get the right man, but this is getting a little bit ridiculous now. All right, David, what are your thoughts about what me and Mike were just talking about?
Well, you know, without taking the whole show up talking about this, really, you know, you've said it all. We've just got to get someone in, and it's got to be the right person. You know, when we talk about slim chances of making the playoff, I mean, it's slimmer than I am, really, since being in hospital for months. It really is that slim. It's, you know, I don't see us doing it. I just don't see us winning that many games consistently. But still, the sooner we start moving in the right direction, the better. That's all there is to say, really.
Right. And that's, you know, and that's the point. Fulham are in this holding pattern, and they need to move forward. They need to move on. And until they get a head coach, again, we're going to have this uncertainty. It can't be healthy. And I just hope that they can block everything out and be the professionals that they are and just go out and get the 3 points. But it certainly is not going to be easy with all this uncertainty. I'm talking about the players hanging over them. So Mike brings up a good point for bringing up the players. What's going through their minds? They need to block everything out and just be professionals that they are and go out and get all 3 points. And I still think they can. I just think that this whole mess makes it just a little bit harder. All right, guys, let's now just talk about a little Fulham news besides this. Let's talk about what was on the Fulham website yesterday. Unfortunately, the team news has several injuries attached to it. Again, part of the Fulham news, the team will give fitness tests to several players before the match on Saturday. Players that are in doubt include Ross McCormack, Ryan Fredericks, Tom Kearney, Ryan Tunnicliffe, Richard Stearman, and Jamie O'Hara. David, what are your thoughts on this team news that was on the website yesterday?
Well, I know it peed you off a little bit because obviously you felt it was giving prior notice to Preston.
Yes.
But, I mean, it does make our job a little bit easier on here if we're talking about tactics. In a kind of perverse kind of way, I'd almost hope that a few of them were missing because, you know, maybe there's a few faces that have been on the sidelines that perhaps it's time to have a look at them. I don't know. And I know Mike would probably be almost half happy if McCormack was not available to play, although it would almost certainly mean Matt Smith would play. But, you know, there's people knocking on the door, people like Matilla, maybe Scott Parker, you know, and others who have really been pretty much frozen out or not had a look in lately. And whilst I don't want to disrupt the team, I would like to have a look at other players as well and see how they're doing. So for me, it would be a kind of a mixed bag if some or all these players are missing. Obviously, there's a couple of key ones. People like O'Hara, he's been fantastic. We don't want to be without him if we can help it. The right-back situation is obviously another one. I mean, it was good news for me that Richards is still not fit, but bad news that Fredericks is also struggling. That could mean, obviously, probably Kyvosa.
Could be.
Or even Tim Ream there, which is neither is ideal, to be honest with you. Tim Ream did an okay job, but we got stuffed, and he had no right foot. I don't think he played the ball once with his right foot there, so it's not ideal. Kyvosa, a bit lightweight as well. But in some positions, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, how other people perform. So, say, mixed bag for me.
Okay, very good. And, Mike, over to you. Again, I want to get your thoughts about about these injured players. And, again, I'm used to hear, you know, injuries kind of, you know, again, you have to talk about them, but you, you know, again, you try to limit the talk you have about them. I'm curious your thoughts about being so public about these injuries. Personally, I know it makes life easier for us because we could talk about this. But are they under any, you know, do they have to talk about, do they have to put this on the full website with the Football League about these injuries? Is it something that they have to do? I'm curious. I don't have the answer. That's why I'm asking you.
No, they don't. And to be honest, if you read the whole article about who's available and who isn't, it was pretty much just saying that the Cunnicliffe is the one who's going to miss out.
Pretty much.
And Frederick's possibly. The others were more related to the ongoing situation in the game last week. But as I raised yesterday on Twitter, why didn't he make a third sub if we had all these players injured
last week? Great point, Mike.
You know, during the game.
Great point.
You know, so that didn't make much sense. But it also, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but it also smacked a little bit of, oh, a lot of players have got injuries. That's convenient. Is it a case of, well, I don't really fancy it at the moment. You know, morale's down. The club's in a bit of a mess. But, you know, I think the players are better than that. And to be honest, out of all that list, I reckon we're only going to miss Tunnicliffe and Fredericks. I think the rest will be there in the squad somehow. But I do tend to agree with Dave, though, that, you know, maybe it's time to let Matilla have a game, and maybe Parker, and you've got Kaká as well, who was nowhere to be seen last week, nor LVC. And, you know, Smith and Woodrow, one of those maybe deserves a start. So, yeah, well, you know, I've not too many issues if some of them are missing, to be honest, because it's going to give other players a chance. And, you know, performance-wise last week, apart from the last 20 minutes, it wasn't great. Yes, we got the draw, but, you know, are they the 11 that's going to get you these wins at home? I'm not totally convinced at the moment.
Okay, very good. And, Mike, right back to you, because you mentioned something that I've been thinking about. When I read that, I thought this could have been a preemptive strike in case the match goes wrong and we could blame it on injuries. Again, I took it as a little bit of preemptive excuse-making, Mike.
No, I didn't see it like that, to be honest, because
okay,
if they are injured, why start it? That's too devious for us. I don't think we're that devious at the moment, and I think that's being shown.
Okay. And what's funny, Mike, I'm being negative. I'm not being Mr. Positive today. I'm being Mr. Negative today. That tells you what's going on here, that I'm being very negative. I'm being very cynical today. That's a total role reversal for me. All right, let's move on, guys. Let's talk about, again, something that made some news this week. It's in regards to Moussa Dembélé. And, David, I'm going to start with you because the two gentlemen that again, we've had on the show recently, Lyle Thomas and also Wayne Vesey, had different stories about Moussa Dembélé, basically conflicting reports on him, with one journalist saying he rejected a contract from Fulham and another saying he was not, and he has not, and the contract is still with his agent, and Fulham are waiting to hear back from the agent. What are your thoughts about this whole situation with Moussa Dembélé?
Obviously, it's disappointing because, you know, we've put our faith in him. He's had a run in the team. He started putting the goals in. He's been getting a lot of positive support from the fans. And, you know, if he does reject the contract for whatever reason, it will be a bit of a slap in the face for us, really. I'm not saying that, you know, he's right or wrong, because the place is a bit of a turmoil at the moment. And, you know, if he thinks he can get a Premier League club to sign him up, I can understand, obviously that rationale, because it doesn't look like we're going to be back there anytime soon at the moment. But the two stories, they could be the same story, just dressed up slightly differently. You know, the contract is with the agent. Either it's been turned down or it hasn't. You know, the fact that it's Fulham haven't heard back could be because the agent hasn't told them. It could be the same story, just slightly amended. Or it could obviously be a completely different matter. But I think if he was going to sign, and this was, and I don't know, was it Lyle or maybe it was Dean? I don't know. I'm sure someone tweeted a couple of weeks ago that it was all literally just needed signing. It was all agreed,
right,
on the dotted line. So why hasn't it been signed? And obviously, you know, the change of managers and the uncertainty could be a reason behind that. You know, he wants to see who the new manager is first, or the new coach is, and whether he's going to be part of the plan still before he puts pen to paper, I don't know. But I tend to kind of fear that it's gone on this long, you know, that perhaps, you know, he isn't going to sign, unfortunately, and, you know, tend to sort of worry that what Wayne said is true. So we'll wait and see, obviously, what happens. But, you know, he's had a long time to sign, and he hasn't. So, and you know, let's see what happens.
Okay, very good. Mike, what are your thoughts about all this? And I'll just throw one thing on the table with this subject, something that went through my mind. Maybe he's waiting to see who the new head coach is. What are your thoughts about the situation with Moussa Dembele?
Well, I think Dave's right. You know, it could be the same story, you know, just with two different points of view. A non-return of the contract, is that a rejection or are they just waiting? So it's,
right.
I think the sacking of Kit has complicated things. And if you take your Fulham hat off, step back, pretend to be an agent, would you get Dembele to sign a contract at this moment in time if Man United or other clubs are sniffing around? Of course you wouldn't. So, you know, the appointment of the next person might change everything for the positive, or possibly the other way as well. But I think we're all agreed that while he's doing the business on the pitch, he has to play. If
yep.
he actually comes out and says, I'm rejecting the contract and I'm going to leave, that changes everything, really. So it's a difficult one. We all want him to stay, but in all honesty, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to say goodbye to him in January, possibly, and get a smallish fee for him.
Okay, very good there, Mike. Well, not very good, because I certainly don't want to see that, but we have to be in reality here. You know, there are teams sniffing around, and, you know, we have to see how this all plays out. But to David's point, I think whoever's a new coach could make a difference, but we'll have to wait and see how it all ends up here with Moussa Dembele. All right, guys, let's now move to the Cottage Talk Roundtable. I have a couple of topics. We pretty much have touched on both of them, so again, I'm going to share some comments along with that from the Fulham supporters and also some polls that I did. But, Mike, I'm going to start with you because we've already kind of been talking about this. My first topic was going to be, would you like to see Sakari Matilla start against Preston North End? What are your thoughts about, would you like to see him start?
I think he deserves to start. He had a good game in the Cup against Stoke, I think. And yeah, I mean, he came on last week, had a decent 15, 20 minutes. And if Tunnicliffe is going to go out the team, then, yeah, just give him the chance. He's, you know, Parker hasn't played all season, so I wouldn't really want to throw him in to begin with. So, yeah, let the lad have a go.
Okay, very good. David?
Yeah, I'd be happy for him to start. The Stoke game, I thought he had a good game, and when he came on at Milton Keynes, I think it really shook things up and we actually looked a lot better when he came on. So, be perfectly happy for him to start. Obviously, if you know, Tunnicliffe is out, it's the perfect, you know, opportunity, isn't it, to come in without anyone's nose being put out of joint, and then gives the new coach or the old coach or whoever's taking the team next time a decision to make.
No, good point there, David. All right, I did a poll on Twitter, and I'm going to give you the results. There were 91 people that participated in this poll about Sakari Matilla, and 62% say yes, that they'd like to see him start against Preston North End, which is interesting. And on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, we do have some comments. I'll share with them quickly to you guys. John Mason said, yes, definitely. The few times I've seen him play, he seems to be able to give something positive to the side. We seem to have a number of players nursing injuries, so he should be in the side on Saturday. Kevin James says, we definitely need a strong, athletic, defensive midfielder in the mold of a Tuhu. We were so open at the Dons, it was ridiculous. Stephen Watson said, we'd like to see a partnership with O'Hara. With injuries, we might not have a choice. Okay, Mike, what are your thoughts about those comments from those three Fulham supporters?
Yeah, I think it's reflecting where everyone thinks, really. You know, we'll be happy to see him play. Some of us want to see Parker back, some don't. But they're the two natural players to fit in if Tunnicliffe isn't around. So, yeah, it was going to be interesting to see what the team is tomorrow.
Okay, very good. And, David, I'm going to share one more comment to you because it's on the other side of this and then get your thoughts. This is from Grant Harris. He said, would rather see Scott Parker play a partnership with O'Hara. I think he's versatile enough to do this and probably more skilled than Matilla. He's fit, and I don't understand why he has yet to see the pitch. David, what are your thoughts about that comment from Grant Harris?
Well, we talked about this previously, that we'd like, assuming he's fit, to see maybe O'Hara in a slightly more advanced role where he's not
correct.
Sitting back in front of the back four or the back three or whoever's playing. And with Tunnicliffe, that hasn't really happened. It's tended that O'Hara sat and Tunnicliffe's been pushing forward a little bit more. But as we saw at Milton Keynes, when Matilla came on, Matilla, although he actually pushed a bit more as well, he actually allowed he definitely allowed O'Hara to go further forward. And I think you'd get the same effect with Scott Parker. So I think it would work both ways. In terms of Matilla, he's had a little bit of game time where Parker hasn't. So he's slightly ahead there. Also, he's a lot taller. And we don't seem to be a very tall team. So, you know, I think we could do with a bit more height in the midfield there, really. You know, O'Hara does his best, but he's not the biggest. For Scott Parker, obviously, he's got the experience, and if he can, you know, get back to that, if he could turn it on like he did against Derby last season, then, you know, if you knew that you were going to get that, you'd probably say, I'd pick Scott Parker. So it's you know, it's very much either way. I don't think you can say one person is an absolute clear favourite out of the others. You'd be picked. There's arguments you could put for both of them playing, but I think I'd like to see Matilla, really, as he played 20 minutes last week. So I think he would be just in front for me.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you. Nothing against Scott Parker. I actually just, this is more to do with Sakari Matilla. I'd like to see him play tomorrow. And, you know, hopefully Jamie O'Hara is fit to play. And I want to see how that all looks for potentially 90 minutes. So, yes, I'm all about Sakari Matilla playing. So, again, I think he should start as well. All right, we've already touched on this. Mike, I'm going to go to you. Let's do this again. Let's go into a little bit more thoughts on this because I'm going to share some commentary from the Fulham supporters and also a poll I did about this question. Here's a second Cottage Talk roundtable discussion piece. Do you approve of Fulham targeting managers from other championship clubs? I believe you already said no, so just share with me a little bit more about this.
Okay, well, I'll go back to actually when we sacked Kit and people were talking about managers from the Championship, and I said I believe there was a sort of gentleman's agreement that you don't approach clubs within your own division. And now I found out that's actually the Premier League, so it doesn't count in the Football League. It's a dog-eat-dog down there. So do I think it's a good idea? If it's the right man and you're absolutely certain that he's the one you want, and you've also done your research as to would he be available, what's the kind of compensation. So I understand that. But, you know, it's a big world out there and there's lots of managers, lots of coaches in all different countries and divisions. And to me, it smacks a little bit of limited sort of research and scouting, looking for something different, looking for, you know, a hidden gem somewhere who's a great coach but hasn't quite been picked up. You know, one of Mike Rigg's titles at the FA, I think, was about talent and scouting for players, the younger talent. Well, you know, has he ever looked at the coaches outside of England? And I'm beginning to think he hasn't at all.
Okay, very good, Mike. And listen, I actually agree with you on this subject. If you had the right man and you did your research and homework and you knew, again, without doing anything or had a good feeling that he could potentially be interested, then I'm not against approaching, but it has to be the right person. If it's not, then I feel very uncomfortable about this whole situation, about these two championship managers. It just doesn't make me feel good. So I would prefer that they didn't, unless they were, you know, again, they had a really strong feeling that he'd be interested and that they really want this person. But more often than not, I'm definitely not for this. I think it's, you know, again, it just makes me feel uncomfortable. David, how about you?
Me too. Broadly, I disapprove, really. If there's a gentleman's agreement in the Premier League, why isn't there one in other leagues? I think it's probably, you know, what's good for the goose should be good for the gander, whatever the expression is. For me, you know, like Mike said, it smacks of narrow-mindedness a little bit, you know, not looking outside of your immediate vicinity where you are, your location. You know, there's got to be other coaches out there, you know,
That's right. Who
are in work in other leagues, other countries, or people who are indeed out of work. I just think it makes you look bad as a club to go after someone in your division, really. And, you know, and I don't think we have enough friends at Fulham. You know, we're a friendly club. We're one of the most friendly clubs you'll ever find. But we don't seem to get a very good PR, really, in the media, I don't think, anyway. So let's not go and make that even worse. So, no, I'm disapproving of it, really, in the main.
Okay. And, David, I certainly understand your strong stance on that. On the Cars Talk Facebook page, the Twitter page, I put up a poll, and again, there are only 68 votes, and 75% said yes. So again, take that for what it's worth, because again, you know, I think, you know, again, I'm reading too much into it. I think fans just want them to find the right person here. John Mason said, don't really think we have any other choice. This is on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. No so-called top class manager is going to come to us and rig wants to have overall control over the side. So only a manager prepared to do as Rigg says will be acceptable to Rigg, and such managers, especially those that are any good, are far and few between. Ben Reed says, it is the way of the world. As long as we do it through the correct process, there's nothing wrong with it. So, again, that's our friend Ben's comments on that. So, again, you know, I understand kind of both sides of this. Let's see. Dan Layton said, I'm okay with it, but the emphasis is on the okay. We're running out of time. We need someone in soon to stop the unrest. And, Dan, I'm right there with you. I couldn't agree with you more. And finally, I'll end with Anthea Evans. I feel very uncomfortable about it. Didn't Mike say there was an unwritten code that clubs don't approach managers in the same league? And you've already explained that, Mike. Legally, I'm sure it's all okay, but morally, I'm not so sure. And, Anthea, I think we're all kind of on the same page on this, so... Thank you very much for all of your comments on both of those roundtable discussion pieces. Guys, we have a little over 17 minutes left, so let's now talk a little bit about Preston North End. I'll just give you some basic information, and we could just finish off by previewing the match. Okay, Preston North End are currently 17th. They've won 3. They have 8 draws, 6 losses. They've only scored 12. They've given up only 15 for a -3 goal differential, and they're on 17 points. Fulham are currently 12th with 5 wins, 6 draws, 6 losses. We've scored 30. We've given up 29 plus 1 goal differential on 21 points. And I just want to mention this, that Preston North End have played several different formations, mostly the 5-3-2 or 3-5-2. They've played a good amount. Top players. Again, this is according to WhoScored.com. Central midfielder Paul Gallagher, center back Greg Cunningham, and center back Callum Woods. However, they're going to be out with an important player. This is something to keep in mind. Center back Bailey Wright is suspended for this match. I actually saw the highlights and saw how he got suspended. So again, he's out for this match. Strengths of Preston North End: creating long shot opportunities, defending set pieces, protecting the lead. Weaknesses: keeping possession of the ball, aerial duels, finishing scoring chances. They're very weak in that. And their style is long balls, control the game in the opposition's half, and they are aggressive. And based on what I watched, I think I saw a little bit of all of that in some of these videos. I've watched several videos. And Preston North End are going to be tough to break down. Let's just start there. And like I mentioned, I think this has the potential to be a very low-scoring match, and it could be a little bit dull because they could be coming in just trying to figure out a way to seriously play 0-0. I think they would be happy with that. I believe they've done that several times this season. So they're coming in, they're going to make it really difficult for Fulham to score. All right, Mike, over to you again. This is a little bit difficult because of the potential injury situations, but who do you think could be the key players in the match tomorrow?
Well, I think the interesting thing from what you just said there, Russ, and I had a look earlier, is you've got two extremes here. You've got Fulham who score and let in goals left, right and centre, and then you've got Preston who have let in the least, I think, or second least, and have scored, what, 12, 13 goals. So, you know, and they are long ball merchants. They look to get rid of the ball very quickly. And
they do.
You have to, yeah, so it's either going to be a nil-nil or we're going to, you know, bow down and let a team have a 16, 20 shots again and let them score three and it'll be a three-all game or something. So who's going to be key tomorrow? The centre-backs for me, especially the way they play, getting the ball forward very quickly. And, you know, the question is if they're pacey up front, you know, do you want Dan Byrne playing? But again, if they're knocking it long, you know, you want him there for the headers. So
I suppose.
the hope is that the three centre-backs who we've used recently are all fit, and maybe we'd try that formation. Because if it's very long, central, it should be fairly easy for our guys. But for me, it's the centre-backs. They're going to be key tomorrow.
Okay, very good. And very interesting take on potential formation. And just want to mention that James Husband will be back in this match, as he was suspended for the last match. So we should have him available, which is a good thing. All right, David, do you agree with Mike? Centre-backs, key in this match.
Certainly going to have an important role if they play long ball style of football. I was just thinking from that, it means that Preston don't have much faith in their midfield, perhaps. So perhaps that's a battleground that we can win if we can get the ball down there anyway, if they bypass their midfield a lot. But I'm also thinking, you know, and I was, you know, as you probably know, I like the 3-5-2 anyway. And when you mentioned that Preston play that, I was thinking, Bristol City. So I'm thinking maybe 3-5-2 could be the order of the day. Which again,
yeah,
as Mike just said, gives us the three centre-backs, which gives you that bit more protection. It also gives you the three central midfielders as well.
That's right.
That strength through the spine of the team. But that relies, of course, on, you know, wing-backs. So in a way, they could almost be the key players, really.
Good point.
Which would mean, you know, probably James Husband coming in, because I think he's a lot better at doing that role than Garbutt is, from
Garbutt.
What I've seen. On the other side, Fredericks, well, I don't know. But I could actually almost see Kai Voza standing in as the wing back on the right, because he does like to get forward. I don't think he's got the quality particularly, but I've seen him forward quite a bit. It's defensively, I'm not sure.
Does he have the pace, David?
I'm not sure about him defensively. So perhaps if Voza has to play, he might even be more suited to that kind of slightly more advanced role there. So I think really, you know, if we're going to pick that formation, the whole of the back five could actually be the real key, you know, the key players for this game.
Okay, very good. I like that take by both of you. All right, Mike, over to you. What do Fulham need to do to win the match?
We need to take control of the game very early on. It's going to be an edgy crowd, a disgruntled crowd, and so I think we need to get an early goal. The longer it goes without us scoring and being in the lead, it just racks up the tension and the grumbles from the crowd. So that's for me, you know, win, settle the crowd down, get a goal, settle the crowd down and take control of the game. And, it's the usual thing. It's a home game. We desperately need to win tomorrow. But I think if we go 0-0 half-time or even late into the game, everything's going to get so edgy and frustrated. So, early goal for me, and I think it'll be
okay. Good. David?
I think we need to play with more pace. We need, you know, stop walking the ball around and stopping and going backwards. Obviously, make an early start, be strong. But it's just, you know, the times when we've looked really good is when we've played quickly. It's not about being fast runners, it's about using the ball quickly, you know, the interplay, the quick passing, and that's good enough. You know, they always say the first yard is in your head or whatever it is, the expression, you know. I'm coming
right
out with all the cliches today for some reason, I don't know why, but yeah, the first yard is in your head, isn't it? And I think you say about people like Bobby Moore that he wasn't blessed with absolute fantastic pace, but he read the game so well that he could make up for it. And I hope I'm not doing Bobby Moore a disservice there, but You know, and that's what it's about. You know, McCormack can look very quick because he does read the game very well. And this, you know, the interplay, when we get these triangles going between people like him and Kearney, O'Hara. And so we've just got to play the ball on the ground. If they like playing long balls, they've probably got guys who are good in the air. So let's not just go into their sort of trap and just, you know, meet and drink. Like it was a bit at Milton Keynes, playing the ball in the air, and their defence mopped everything up. So let's be looking for quick, short passes on the ground and quick movement, really.
Okay, so if I'm reading your thoughts correctly, David, I haven't gone through your starting 11. This is not a Matt Smith match for you, then?
Obviously, it depends on McCormack's situation. If McCormack isn't fit, then we may be forced to go down that route. I wouldn't rule it out because, you know, at the end of the day, if they're strong in the air, it's good to have something up against it. And if we do play with the wing backs and we have people who can get crosses in, then again Matt Smith comes into play a lot.
Okay.
So I'm ambivalent about it, really. I like Matt Smith and what he offers, but I guess I would stick with the continuity if Ross is fit.
Okay, very good. And you know, again, I was just going through watching video and watching that again. One of their weaknesses is aerial duels, and I'm thinking, maybe this is a Matt Smith type of match. Maybe this is a situational match that might fit what he offers. I you know, that's why I wanted to pose it to you, David. Mike, what are your thoughts about Matt Smith for this match? Is this not his match, or would it be a match that could suit his abilities?
No, I mean, it's a game that he could play in, and I mean, I'm still not convinced about his fitness. So if he starts, he's going to be there for an hour, you know, 70 minutes maximum. I've actually put down a lineup with all those players injured that you mentioned earlier, you know, taking all them out, and I've got him starting. So you know, but that's only if everyone's injured. I mean, if McCormack isn't fit tomorrow, then I think I would start Smith. I think why not? But that would depend also on who he plays wide. I think if you play 4-4-2, you start Smith. If you play with 5-3-2 or 3-5-2, then I think you know he's option B to come off the bench. So you need to start someone else up front.
Okay, very good. And I'm glad that you've went into a little bit detail of the different formation that would suit him better, obviously, the 4-4-2. All right, Mike, since you've already mentioned it, give me your starting 11 tomorrow.
Okay, well, I mean, as some may know, I do a marks out of 10 every week for players, for people to vote online, and usually I sort of preload that with the team I think it's going to be, but I have no idea what the team is going to be tomorrow. In all honesty, I think if Fredericks doesn't start, I think then Voza will come in. I think Ream will come in for Byrne, Matilla for Tunnicliffe, and it'll be the same as last week. And there is even a danger that he'll try and start a diamond again. So I think that's what Grant is going to do. But let me quickly give you my 11 with all those injured players missing. So
sure.
I'd have Lewis in goal, Voza,
yep.
Ream, Byrne, Husband as the back four, and then midfield of LVC, Matilla, Parker and Kaká, and Smith and Dembele up front.
Okay, very good, okay. David, how about you for your starting 11?
Lewis in goal, Fredericks if fit, right wing back if not, Voza. I will go with the three, you know, Stearman, Byrne and Ream as the three centre-backs, but if Stearman doesn't make it, give Hutchison a go there.
Okay.
Yeah, left wing-back Husband, most certainly. Three central midfielders, Tunnicliffe, but I think we probably assume he's not going to play, so Matilla there with O'Hara just in front of him and Kearney as well, if he's fit, and McCormack and Dembele up front, obviously, McCormack isn't fit, I'd have Matt Smith in there from the start, I think, actually. If Kearney isn't fit, not really sure about that, whether it needs a change of formation or whether you're going to be very brave and put someone else in there, and I'm not sure who you would play in there as a cam, really, at this stage. We have seen Kaká in that position where, you know, he has looked useful at times, but obviously Kaká is really an out-and-out winger, so a bit difficult to say there, but obviously she's relying on the 3-5-2 kind of formation. Let's just hope, you know, that we don't see, you know, last week with the diamond with Kavanagh, you know, in the left, or the very wide diamond as well, which meant that O'Harbour was really left on his own in the middle. That really, really didn't work first half, and I think the fact that he changed it second half means that he realised it didn't work and we're going to see something different. But anyway, that's my lineup.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, let's go right into predictions. I'll start with the Cotter's Talk Facebook page. Roger Lewis says 2-0. Anthea Evans says 2-2 draw. So those are the predictions on the Cotter's Talk Facebook page. On Twitter, the poll I put up, again, 87 people voted on the poll. I did it this morning. Win, 53%. Draw, 25%. And loss, 22%. And that's, again, out of 87 votes. Very interesting there. So the majority still see a win tomorrow. All right, Mike, I'm going to start with you. What is your prediction for tomorrow?
Okay, so we're playing a team that scored the least number of goals, again, you know, for themselves. So we're bound to concede. So we're not going to keep a clean sheet. 2-1 to Fulham. 2-1 to Fulham.
2-1
for them, yeah.
Okay, very good. David?
I think I should bow down to the greater knowledge that is Yanis. Last week when I was going mad saying 5-0 and he came out with 1-1, he nailed it. So, Yanis, if you're listening, I'm gonna take your 1-1 from last week and bring it forward, because I'm not sure if with all these changes if we're going to really get into our stride, and we may struggle, but let's hope I'm wrong. Let's hope my 1-1 prediction this week is actually a 5-0.
Okay, well, that would be good, David, honestly. A 5-0 would be fantastic. I doubt that. Again, this is a tough discipline side. You never know. You know, Mike threw out it could end up being 3-3. Who knows? I am going to agree with Mr. Mike Gregg. I'm going to go 2-1 to Fulham, and I'm going to go with 2 goals from Moussa Dembele, because I don't know the health of Ross McCormack, so I'm going to say Moussa Dembele scores 2 goals. You think every time I do this, I jinx the player, but I don't
Absolutely.
Believe that, David.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, very good. Guys, we only have a little over 2 minutes left. Final thoughts, Mike.
Okay, I'll just throw in another name for tomorrow if we've got some injuries in midfield, who could be a shock starter and has played in the under-21s. And that's your countryman, and that's Heidman.
Wow. Now, that would be a shocker. Okay, I like that. I actually really like that. Mike, final thoughts, Dave. We've got about a minute 30 left.
Perhaps I think LBC, if fit, will be in there before Heidman, if there is a space in midfield. So I just don't – I think he's only been back training Heidman, and I think was he not injured? So I don't
I believe
know.
He was.
So probably not. I think we'll see Parker or LVC and Matilla long before we see Heidman as it stands. But who knows what's going to happen? It's a bit of a piece of bingo tomorrow, isn't it?
Very. I like that. Peter Grunt bingo. Funny, funny, funny. All right, guys, it's time to wrap up the show. Great job by the two of you. I really enjoyed doing this show with you. For David and Mike, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cotter's Talk. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, Russ. Cheers, David.
See you, Russ. See you, Mike.
Take care.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look down.